Emerging with these new powers have come opportunities for the elimination of global poverty and the greater capacity for citizens of the world to bear witness to and fight against violations of human rights wherever they may happen. But alongside the many positive changes are the perils that must be avoided, not least of which are the uses of these new means of communication by some to violate the dignity and humanity of others through public deception, economic exploitation, political surveillance and repression, and other abuses of power. The decision by the United States to rejoin UNESCO should come as no surprise. Since 1984, UN leaders have worked assiduously to attract the United States back into the fold, even to the point of rejecting the organization's own past. Therese Plaquette-Savigny, UN Undersecretary General for Information in 1990, clearly articulated an anti-NWICO position that was consistent with U.S. policy and official ideology. Over many years, the international debate on information and communication did not result in agreement on a common approach. I wish only to refer to some of the discussions, for instance, on concepts of a new world information order, which in the eyes of many actors in the field of communication have harmed international efforts to construct a worldwide information society. Plaquette-Savigny, quoted in Roche, 1997, pages 116. The path to a worldwide information society was not and is not something that has had to be constructed in a particular way, as this statement implies. But following the U.S. withdrawal, UNESCO officials have tended to subordinate that organization's past pretenses to moral leadership to one of appeasement and conciliation, and in the process they embraced the official U.S. vision of what a global information society should look like. For the U.S. government and for the governments of other affluent countries, the political task for the future has been one of engineering the creative destruction of social welfare states and redirecting national policy efforts to build a neoliberal global information society. Carl Abrazy, 1997, 1999a, 1999b. That task has been based on an intellectual shift in economic thought from Keynes to Hayek. UNESCO has conformed to that agenda by embracing, or at least not significantly opposing, a pro-WTO ideological framework as far as the idea of the global information society is concerned. Within this framework, not only has UNESCO lost much of its former relevance as a deliberative forum for global media policy, but it also no longer poses a symbolic threat to the cultural norms of neoliberalism. With UNESCO no longer at the center of global media policy discourse, noteworthy struggles to develop democratic principles of global media governance have shifted to other forums, most visibly the World Summit on the Information Society, WSIS. The WSIS, which met in Geneva in 2003 and will culminate in Tunis in November 2005, represented for many people throughout the world, particularly in the Global South, new hope for making important progress in articulating global norms and related policies in the area of communication rights. Global, or at least transnational, policymaking is not a recent phenomenon, although the degree of public participation in global policy forums arguably is on the rise. That broadened participation has been represented as the voice of civil society, that part of social life that is often distinguished from the state and the corporate sector in the generation of worldwide public discourse about the future of communication rights and the global policies that are needed to secure them. Of course, there are grounds for disagreement about how unified the voice of civil society is, given the inherent non-singularity that characterizes the history of the very idea of civil society, and given the broad range of issues that were brought to the WSIS under the banner of that idea. Carl Abrazy, 2004b.